I've had a great time with this sermon series. I hope you've enjoyed it. How to ruin our lives. It's not hard to mess up our lives. It's not difficult to do the things that cause our lives to wreck and to crash and to burn. I mean, we all, there's decisions and there's things. And sometimes it's the little things. This morning, here's what I want to talk about this morning, what I want us to think about. You know, I did a big thing talking about adultery, right? That's a pretty big topic. And just trying, you know, how do you want to ruin your life? And you need to put some boundaries there. And then I talked about pornography, and we need to have some boundaries and understand that. But I want to talk about some of the little things in life that ruin our lives. Some of the things that, again, we don't expect them to. We don't think they're going to go that way. We're different than everyone else. It's not going to happen to me. It's because they didn't do this or they didn't do that. And it's them. And we don't see that we're on that same path. And so this morning, I kind of want to challenge us about some of the little things that ruin our lives. Things like, some things are legal and some things are illegal. You know, things like drugs. Everybody would agree drugs are bad, right? We'd all agree with that. You know, there's illegal drugs out there. Marijuana, meth, and crack, and cocaine, and all of that. That's all out there. And I'm going to talk about that this morning, and we need to think about that. But there's also some legal drugs. People get hooked on prescription drugs, don't they? They get sucked in and they get hooked on these prescription drugs and it ruins their life. You know, and then we have things like overeating. Anybody struggle with that one? Laura gave me this shirt and I was kind of afraid it's a little tight, so I've been, you know how you have to go like this. Anybody ever do anything like this, or is it just me? You know, overeating. And that can ruin our lives. And we need to worry about that. And I'm going to say it anyway. Cigarettes. All right, I'm going to throw cigarettes out there. I'm going to add this one, some of you. I'm not going to say coffee. I'm going to say caffeine, okay? You know, you got to have your caffeine before you get the day going. And we need to think about these things that ruin our lives, you know? And what I want to make sure you understand is we're going to go through this message this morning that it's not about whether it's good or bad. It's really not even about whether it's legal or illegal. Here's the question. What controls your life? Years ago in the old blue church, I would walk down to the church to go into the office. And on the way to the church, I would just walk. I would go down to Salida Home Market. And I had a 44-ounce... You remember those things you refill for 99 cents? And I'd go down there and I would refill that with Pepsi and pick up a package of Hostess cupcakes. Nice, healthy breakfast. And I would go down there every morning and pick up that. And then I'd go sit in the church office and do some things. And then if I would go out for lunch, I would go fill my 44-ouncer up again. And then if I was going out running around, I would fill my 44-ouncer up again. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with Pepsi? Is anything wrong with Pepsi? Oh, somebody said no, thank you. No, there's nothing wrong with Pepsi. But did somebody have a problem? You know, did somebody have an issue? See, could that gradually ruin my day? I remember as a child, my aunt would drink Pepsi, and we dropped a nail, a 16-penny nail, in that thing of Pepsi. And you know what happened to that nail a week later? Anybody have an idea? It was gone. It was gone. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Pepsi. But if I abuse it, can it be an issue? Can it ruin my life? Can it become a habit? Can it lead down the wrong path? And that's what I want to think about this morning. I want to ask us this question. And I want you to think about this question of what is really leading your life, controlling you? Look at the scripture right here. Everything is permissible for me. Everything's okay. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I want you to circle the word mastered. See, I think this is the challenge for us. Have we allowed things in our life to master us? and had become so much of a habit to drink soda in the morning. Can that become a master that when I quit, I get a headache? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I let those things, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. It's normal. But can little things in our lives ruin us? Can they become masters in our life? And that's what I want you to think about this morning. I want to really put an emphasis on what is mastering you? What is controlling you? See, the word master, I want you to see the definition of the word master. Mastered, under the power of something, to be controlled by or enslaved to. And I want you to think, I even gave you a blank there. I'm not going to play around this morning. This series, I've really tried to beat you up. I'm going to be honest with you. And not just you, myself. I want you to think, in your life, what is it that controlling, that's mastering, that you feel you have to have? That, you know, to get my day rolling, to get my day going, I need to have this cup of Starbucks. To get going through this day, to get going and to get moving on, I have to. What is mastering you? Something that's just kind of controlling, enslaved to. Now, you need to know, I think most of us have these in our lives. You know, the day just doesn't go right unless things just don't feel right unless. What are those things that are mastering us? And I think we need to think along these lines. Because I want to tell you, the problem isn't, now I'm going to be honest, there are some problems, illegal drugs, marijuana, crack, meth. All that stuff, you know, we can, that's a given. Am I right? Can everybody agree with that? That's a given. That's going to ruin your life sooner or later. I mean, almost all studies show and almost everybody admits that most people that end up on meth and all those other drugs have started out with marijuana. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to agree with me or not, almost every study will tell you that the beginning down the path of drugs start with marijuana. We have known that since the 60s. It's undeniable. I don't buy this idea. Now, you need to know, I have heard this. I have heard this. It's only recreational. All right? I'm serious. I don't do it at work. I don't do it before I go to work. I just do it recreationally. Maybe when I come home, but for sure on the weekends. I have heard that. I have heard people say it's just recreational use of drugs. I'm going to give you something. Garbage. That is pure garbage. Sooner or later, it will ruin your life. I remember sitting on a couch when my brother committed suicide across from my other family members and talking about my brother. He got caught up. And he was a functioning worker. He had a great job. You would have never knew by his behavior outside the house. You would have never had an idea that he used drugs. Recreationally. And when I told my other family members that I believe drugs played a key role in my brother committed suicide, they all go, no, they didn't. He just used them recreationally. I felt like saying, you stupid fool. But you can't tell your brother that, can you? Well, maybe I should have. Recreation. Well, I want to give you that. That's a given. That's a given. Those things will master your life sooner or later. If you're going down that path, I guarantee you. I remember a lady I used to talk to. She would smoke 10 joints a day. Kept a cigar box under her couch. I can control it. I can quit anytime I want. Yeah. We all know drugs can master you. But I want to talk about those little things in our life. Overeating. Shopping. I like that one. Alcohol, gambling, cheesecake. Why are you guys laughing? These things can master us. I want to think about that this morning. What is mastering you? What do you feel you have to make the day go right, to feel better about yourself? How about this one? It takes me an hour, not me, now some of you. That's not me. Let's say it takes you an hour to get ready to go out for the day because you are mastered by your appearance. All right. I mean, come on now. It will ruin your life sooner or later. I got a rule in my family. Here's something I tell the worship team. I tell them all. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late because you're supposed to be 5 minutes early. All right. So if it takes you an hour to get ready, you're in trouble. I want you to think about what is it in your life. You know, I'm not talking about the big things. I'm talking about the little things in life that master you. Because here's what I want to tell you. You know, the problem isn't the cheesecake. The problem isn't the caffeine. The problem isn't shopping. The problem isn't whatever, all those things. The problem is something is mastering us. And I'm going to give you a word. You might want to write it down somewhere. It's called an idol. You have allowed something to become an idol in your life. You have allowed something to control you. Something to become more important than God. Here's the key, something to replace God. Look at the scripture right here. It's a rather long one. Okay, that's what has mastered you. I want you to, wait a minute, did you fill the blank in? Let me make sure. Did you fill that blank in? Come on. I'm going to wait a moment. Fill the blank in. I see some of you writing. I don't see some of you writing. Fill the blank in. All right, some of you already did it. I want you to look at the scripture. I love this passage because it's going, when I get done reading this, you're going to go like me. You stupid fool. Look at this. He cut down cedars, or perhaps he took a cypress, an oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted pine, and the rain made it grow. He's saying, listen, the guy went to the forest. He planted trees. He was a good ecology guy. He had his own trees. He's taking care of the forest, and he cuts one down. It's a man's fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself and kindles a fire and bakes his bread. He's using the wood very constructively. But he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, oh, I am warm. I see the fire. From the rest, he makes a god. His idol. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, save me, you're my God. Now, they know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see, and their minds are closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think. You're watching this guy saying, listen, you go to the forest, you cut a tree down. You take some of it, you build the fire in your house, you cook dinner. You warm your house with, but you take a chunk of that wood and you carve this statue and you say, this is my God. This is my God. He's going, don't you think about what you're doing? Don't you see what you're doing? Nobody stops and thinks. No one has the knowledge or understands to say, half of it is used for fuel. I've even baked bread over its coals. I've roasted meat and ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what is left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. He deluded his heart, misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? He's going, don't you see? You cut this tree down, cooked your dinner, you warmed your house, and now you took a piece of that and you worship it. Don't you see what you're doing? How dumb are you? Don't just stop and think. You have made an idol out of a chunk of wood. And what I see him saying to us is, what have we made an idol out of in our lives? That we feel we have to have. That things just don't go right without it. That I need it. Let me give you an illustration. Let me kind of put this into real terms so you can see it. Overeating. Well, no, let's not go there first. You're stressed out. Anybody get stressed out? You're full up to here. Anybody been full up to here? You've had it. You're burned out. You're stressed out. It's over. You are done. You're fried. And you got to relax. You need some peace. So just give me a little, I don't know, a hit, a drink, a pill, a cigarette. Give me, and I'll just give me some time to relax and give me, you know what you've done? You have just replaced the peace of God that God wants to give you, a peace beyond all understanding, with another God in your life. Isn't that true? You guys are quiet. Some people are hooked on shopping. It just makes them feel good to go shopping. I just feel so good, and I feel at comfortable, and I feel at ease, and it just blesses me to go shopping. Well, who really wants to bless you? Who really wants you to feel good? You see, you've just replaced God with shopping. Do you get the picture? God's the God, an author of peace. God's the God who wants to give you meaning in life. And it's like, I just got to have this. You know, if I get this, if I can just do this, I'm going to feel good about myself. I'm going to feel good about who I am. And it is going to be really good. Facebook. I'm going to beat up on Facebook real quick. Let me knock Facebook. I enjoy Facebook as little as I use it. Okay, I don't use it very much. But some people, you know, I just got to post on Facebook. I want to see what somebody's going to respond to what I say. It makes me feel good. Makes me purpose in life. It gives me meaning in life. When I make a post on it and everybody responds, and I see they say all sorts of good things. I'm going to tell you, who gives you meaning in life? Do you see how we can let these other things become idols that replace God, that stand in the place of God, and they ruin our lives? And I want us to challenge us in this area. And again, like I say, it's not about good and bad. We know what's bad, and we know that's bad. And we know the things that are illegal, and we know those things are illegal. But what about those things that it's all permissible? They're all okay. There's nothing wrong. That first verse, there's nothing wrong with them. They're all okay. There's nothing there. There's nothing bad. And yet, they bring something into our life that only God can fill. You look at that. I put this little quote right there. We're seeking to find what only God can provide in something besides God himself. See, I'm seeking to put something in my life that makes me feel better, that helps me relax, that gives me meaning and purpose in life. I'm putting something there, whatever it is, that God can give us. And those things never fulfill like God can do. They're never there like God can do. See, and some of us are going down that path. See, I have an addiction. You know, confession's good for the soul, and I have an addiction. I have something that I just, it really controls me. It's called a computer. Anybody know what a computer is? And it's called computer games. I cannot put a game on my computer. Years ago, there was a game called Myst. It's a computer game. It's not graphic where you fight and shoot and do all sorts of things. It's an intellectual game. You got to solve these puzzles and go through, and you got to do all. It's a puzzle game on the computer. And when I have a game on my computer, my personality, I have to win. All right? You need to know, I am a poor loser. I am a bad sportsman. All right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You see me play soccer or volleyball or... You see me out there, I, you know, but I had this game Myst. Nothing wrong with a computer game. They're all right. But that game, I would set up till 3, 4 in the morning playing that game, solving those puzzles. You ought to have seen the notes. I had 10 pages of notes of how to go through the tunnels and which way to turn and what I needed to do. Drew maps, had it all figured out. I would play till 3, 4 in the morning and go to bed and get up at 7. And then run around and do the church stuff and do all the stuff I had to do. And then set at the computer till 3, 4 the next morning. Because I had to finish the game. You need to know something. I do not load games on my computer. Somebody gave me the second version called Raven. Loaned it to me. It is still sitting on my desk. I am afraid to put it on. Now I want to tell you something. Do I want to put it on? Yes. I want to play that game. That's why I'm not putting it on the computer. Because guess what will control me? See, here's the key thing that I want you to understand. We know it. You know. Have you ever sat there at the dinner table? And there's dessert. And you know, I shouldn't eat that. I know I shouldn't eat. I've had enough. I know I shouldn't eat. I know I shouldn't have this. I've had enough. But what do? And you eat it, even though you know. See, that's the challenge. Because what's controlling me then? Do you see what I'm saying? What is ruling in our lives? We need to see that in our life. But what's so fun is we're going down that path. We're going down there. I want to make it easy for you this morning. I want to make it easy. If you're down that path, you're going down that path, maybe you're a few steps into it, I'm going to tell you exactly how to get there easily, okay? 5 quick things you need to do to get there. Remember my sarcastic sermons, right? 5 things to do if you want to go down the path to addiction, all right? To ruin your life. Here's 5 of them. Look at number 1 here. Don't admit you have a problem, all right? Never, ever, ever, now listen, ever, never admit you have a problem. You don't have an issue. You don't have a problem. It's not you. You got control over it. You can quit anytime you want. I don't have a problem, right? Never admit you have an issue with it. I can quit anytime I want. You know, I don't need that drink. I don't need that cigarette. I don't need that dessert after every meal. I don't need that chocolate. I don't need it. Ignore what God says. All you have to do is admit your sin, that you turned against the Lord your God and worshiped God under every green tree and didn't obey me, says the Lord. Never, ever admit it. I don't care what the Bible says, all right? You don't want to do this. If you want to get addicted, you want to ruin your life, you want to mess up your life, don't do this. Listen to me, don't. Deny, deny, deny. Never admit you have a problem. All right? I never overeat. I don't have a shopping problem. I am good with my credit card. I don't have any issues with caffeine. I'm okay. Never admit you got an issue. Am I clear on this one? Never? What does never mean? Never. Now listen to me. I don't care when your friends come up to you. You know that best friend of yours? You know that one that you run around with all the time and says, listen, I think you're struggling in this area. Deny. All right? You know, when those people who care for you and those people who are there to support you and want to encourage you, when they're there and they come up and say, listen, you're really struggling there, deny. All right? They don't know you well enough. They don't understand you. They don't get it. Deny. All right? If you want to ruin your life, you just make sure you're on the right path. Deny, deny, deny. I don't have any issues. I can quit drinking Pepsi anytime I want. I did. I quit drinking Pepsi for 3 or 4 years. Matter of fact, I'm drinking more soda now than I had in years, but I'm not like I used to be. Isn't that good? Does that count? Never admit it. Step number 2. Step number two, if you want to get down this path, gratify your fleshly desires. Whatever your body wants, go for it, all right? Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you feel your body wants, you know, if you feel you got to look at those dirty pictures, look at them. It's okay. If you got to have the hit off that joint, yeah, just go for it, you know. Don't deny your body anything. That, you know, that third piece of cheesecake, eat it. You know, just enjoy those fleshly desires. I mean, just go for it. You got to ignore God's word, though. Make sure you just ignore this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is what's contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Just, you got to ignore this, all right? You got, here's what this verse is sitting there saying. Inside of you is a civil war. Inside of you is this desire that you know I shouldn't, and yet I want to. I shouldn't. There's a civil war going on inside of you. And there's a battle. And that battle's not necessarily bad. That battle's good. As long as you make the right choice. And what you need to do is just whatever your body wants to do, just do it. It doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt anybody. It doesn't kill anybody. You know, it's just enjoy yourself. Whatever it takes. Just as long as your body feels good, you're all right. You know, don't worry about it. Just all the desires, just enjoy. Ignore God, all right? You just got to, you know, don't put the Bible away. Let it collect all the dust on the shelf. You know, just put it away and ignore God. So first, never admit you got a problem. Second, just go after whatever makes you feel good. It just makes me feel good. See, God wants me to be happy so I can just be happy. And it makes me happy. Third, rationalize your behavior and make excuses. Rationalize your behavior and make any excuses. Whatever's going on, they just don't understand. Rationalize it. I need this. It helps me get over this. It encourages me. Just rationalize. You know, I can't get through the day. It's not hurting anybody else. It's only about me. Excuses, really. You know, have all the excuses you want. This went on in the Bible times. Look at this. But they all, like alike, began to make excuses. The first said, I've just brought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. See, some guy's giving a party, and these guys are all saying, I can't get there. Excuses. Get some good excuses. Be creative, all right? You know, God gave you a brain. He gave you a head. Create some wacko excuse. Good excuse, not wacko, all right? You got to have some excuses. You got to rationalize it. You know, if nobody eats that cheesecake, it's going to go to waste. You know, we have to throw it away. It's been out. It's, you know, I can't put it back in the refrigerator anymore. Yeah. Somebody's got to eat it. Come on, somebody eat it. Well, if nobody eat it, I'm going to eat it. Come on now. You got to rationalize this. Yeah. We need to do those things. Number four. Always keep your addiction a secret. Never tell anybody you got a problem. It's a secret. Secrets are best in darkness. You don't want anybody to know. You keep it a secret. Things are hidden. You know, here's what's good. You got to even hide it from yourself. You know, hide it from yourself. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Don't do. Listen, I put these scriptures in to tell you what not to do, all right? I'm using the word in a different way today, aren't I? It's a secret. It's my little secret. Nobody knows. No blocks on my internet. No blocks on the TV. Nothing on my charge cards. You know, hide those bills that come in with the charge cards receipts. You know, don't show anybody what's on them. You know, it's just your little secret, okay? Last, depend on your own power, never God's. Depend on your own power, never God's. You can do this, all right? Listen to me. You can conquer this. You can get through this. You don't need anybody. You don't need God. All you need is just to work harder at it. Strive longer at it. Commit more to it and strive to do it. All five of these. Go ahead and push the button. All five of these. I want to tell you something. This has been the hardest sermon series to preach I've ever preached. Because I'm not able to say, this is what the Bible says. I'm criticizing the Bible sarcastically. I hope you understand that. If you're doing this, I'm going to go back to that first verse that we just read, or the second verse, that big old long passage. You're not thinking, all right? If you're doing any of these five things, wake up, all right? I mean, I've been dumb through this whole series. I've been sarcastic. If you think these are good, you got a problem. You got an issue. If you think, this is how I can live my life, it's not going to hurt. It's just a little joint, a doobie. It's just a hit. It's just some meth. It's just prescription drugs the doctor gave somebody else that I stole from them or borrowed from them. It's just one drink, two drinks, three drinks. It's just a... We need to stop. And I, like I said, this has been hard because it's like I'm being stupid up here. And I'm not. And I know you're not. And yet what happens is we start down this slippery slope thinking we're going to be different. I'm not going to be that way. I can handle this. I can control this. I can deal with this. And we think we can get away with it. Yeah, 99% of the people are going to go that way, but I'm the one that's different. Get over yourself. This last point is where I want to jump off on, because it's like you can't do it on your own. Listen to me. I don't care what you're battling, whatever you put in there for your master, you will not get over that on your own. Think about it. How often do we know what we should do? We got the right ideas in our head. We know exactly the way we should go. We know exactly what to do. And yet, what do? Just the opposite. Anybody been in that boat besides me? I know I shouldn't eat that extra piece of cheesecake. I know I shouldn't put a game on my computer. I know I shouldn't do. And yet, what do? I need help. I can't do this on my own. I can't get over this on my own. And we got to struggle with this, and we got to strive at it. So this is what I want you to think about this morning. There's a story. I like to call them an event because it's real. When I say story, sometimes it's like, well, it's a made-up story. Here's a true event, a true biblical event. It really happened, all right? It did. It really, really happened, all right? The event is David and Goliath. Anybody know David and Goliath and the event of David and Goliath? Anybody familiar with that story? Anybody remember that story? David, the little shepherd boy who slayed the giant Goliath. I want you to think about that story for a minute. Here's this massive army opposite another massive army. And the one guy comes out taller than everybody else, bigger than anybody else, saying, listen, fight me, you defeat me, we'll all go away. And everybody on this other side is afraid to go out. Until David, a shepherd, goes up to see his brothers. He's not even a warrior. He's a shepherd. He goes up to see his brothers. And as he's there, he hears the challenge that's going on. And here's what David does. David looks at the giant. Then he looks at God. He looks at the giant. And he looks at God. And he looks at the giant. And he looks at God. And David goes, well, who is that giant that thinks he can stand against God? Who is that giant that thinks he could stand against God? I mean, who does he think he is? He looks at the giant and he looks at God. And what does he do? He says, that giant, the rest are saying, that giant's too big. We can't fight him. David goes, that giant's too big. I can't miss him. And he kills the giant. Why did he kill the giant? Because he wasn't looking at the giant. He was looking at God. Here's what I want you to know. If you're going to defeat the giants in your life, those things that control you, those idols in your life, those things that you feel you can't do without, those things you feel you have to get through the day, if you're going to kill those things, you got to quit looking at them and start looking at God. You got to take your eyes off of that and start looking at God. You got to turn to Him and see His face. You got to look at that and look at God. Look at that and look at God. Look at that and look at God and go, who does that think it is that it can stand against God? See, who does that think it is? See, if you look at your paper, look at the scripture with me. We do live in a world, in the world, but we do not fight in the same way the world fights. We fight with weapons that are different from those the world uses. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. We destroy people's arguments and every proud thing that rises itself against the knowledge of God. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. That passage is really good. I want you to circle the word power in there. Because the word power is the Greek word dynamite. That's what we say. Here's what this verse is saying. Quit looking at your problems. Look at God. He's going to give you the dynamite to blow those thoughts out of your mind. God's going to give you the dynamite to blow that knowledge away from you. God's going to give you the dynamite to get the pride out of your life so you can overcome that issue. Isn't that what it says? That if you're going to defeat this, you've got to defeat this with the power of God. You can't do it on your own. God has the dynamite. But see, the problem with most of us is we keep our eyes on our problem, on that battle, on that struggle, whatever it is. You go to work and you got to work hard and you know you got to go home and you know I need to be home with my family and it's late and I got to get home. The kids had a baseball game tonight. I wanted to go to the game and I got to, and I got to go home, but I got to get this done. I got to have this done by tomorrow morning. And you stay there. When you know you should go home, you stay there and you do the work. Why? I'm going to ask you, is God bigger than that project? You go to the mall. You go to the mall and you got that little plastic card in your hand and you know you shouldn't use it and you know you're tapped out and you know there's no more there and you know you're not going to be able to pay the bill when the bill comes, but you go to that mall and you're walking around and you find that thing that you just got to have. It's going to make me feel good. I need something to make me feel good right now. I'm down. I'm depressed. Life has just really beat me up right now. You know, if I get this new shirt, this new dress, I was going to say dress and just blame women, but I think guys, you know, guys have their things too. You know, if I just get this, I'm going to feel better about myself and I'll feel good about myself. And so you take that old card and swipe that old card and you go home. And you know. See, God is bigger than those thoughts. He can overcome those things. Why do we let the devil still kill and destroy us? With these little things in life. See, we take these little molehills and make mountains out of them. Because we've got to have it. And we feel we need it. And see, God is sitting there saying, don't put those there, put me there. I'm what you need. You need peace? I can give you peace. You need meaning in life? I can give you meaning in life. You need encouragement in life? I'm the Father of encouragement. Whatever you need, I can meet your needs. And yet we allow, because our thoughts and our minds, I need. And say, I want to challenge this. Look at this next verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. See, all these things are trying to steal our joy, kill our peace, and destroy our lives. That's what these things try to do. They will sooner or later. And I want to challenge you this morning to look at what's mastering you, what's controlling you, those things that you feel you have to have, that thing you feel you've got to do. Instead of looking at that, I want you to look at God. A God who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to walk with you and be with you every moment of the day, throughout the night when you're asleep. He's there with you. I want you to see that God and not see the problem. I want to challenge you. And so at the bottom, if you're looking at your page, I put it this way. I can do this with God's help. You can't do this on your own. You can't. All right? It doesn't work that way. You need God's help. I do. Battles, struggles, I need God's help. We do. Look at the scripture. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Everything. It's not on you. It's not about you. It's not about what you can do. I want to tell you something. In your life, everything is about God. I don't care what battle you're fighting. I don't care what burden you have. I don't care what's happened in your life. It's not about you. We can set back with our rationalization excuses. Well, it's my mom and dad. They beat me when I was a kid. They never bought me what I really wanted, so now I got a spending problem. They did. Well, it was school's fault. It's my best friend's fault. He got me started on marijuana. I remember when my friend gave me a cigarette. I tried to smoke it. It made me cough. I couldn't handle it. I'm glad I didn't continue. You need to know all I smoked when I was a kid, when I was 18 years old, all I smoked was cigars. That's all I smoked. So I wasn't bad. You know, when you're 18 years old, I told you the story. When you're 18 years old and you're assistant manager at the theater, it goes to your head. I told you, my white patent leather shoes, my pants, my cigar, 18 years old walking around. I hired, I fired, I let people in, I counted all the money. I mean, I'm counting tens of thousands of dollars. I'm doing everything, calling Paramount Theaters, Paramount down in L.A. and Universal City. I mean, I had the power, and it went to my head, man, I did. I had a box of cigars on my desk. I'd sit there and puff on a cigar and walk around the movie theater. Yeah. You guys all laugh at me. It was fun when you're 18 and you got all that power. But I'm going to tell you something. We all have those little things in our life. You need God, period. All right? Can I get any plainer than that? I don't care what's going on in your life. You need God. Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's all Satan wants. That's it. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything in your life that gets between you and God is going to steal, kill, and destroy you. It could be good. It doesn't have to be bad. There are good things out there in this world. Nothing wrong with them. But when they get between you and God, there's a problem. We read that story of the guy cutting a tree down. He's going to make a fire in his house. He's going to cook his bread. Then he's going to worship part of it. And you think, how many of you think that guy's an idiot? I got a few hands, so some of you guys don't, you know. Some of you guys think he's smart, right? If you don't raise your hand, you think he's smart. Let's see how many hands go up now. We all think, and yet in our lives, we have these little things in our life that, I can handle this. I can deal with this. Give it to me. Come on now, you know I'm right. You need God. And I want to challenge you there this morning. Bottom of your page, Jesus is my Lord. That's it. That's it. Is anything else Lord of your life? Anything. Anything else? You know, Pepsi? That was, come on now. Anything. I want you to think about this morning. What are you going to do with what's mastered you? What are you going to do? I ask you to put something down. I want you to turn your paper back over, and I want you to look at that. What are you going to do with it? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look to Jesus. Take your eyes off that and put your eyes on God. Can you do that? Can you give that battle to God? Don't go down that path. This sermon series has been a pain for me. You need to know, I've enjoyed it. It's been fun. When you get to get up and talk about having an affair, that's fun, all right? You get to get up and talk about porn, that's fun, all right? I talked about porn in church. Yeah. But it's been stressful because, you know what? These things destroy our lives. They do. They eat us up. And we need to realize that. And that's what this whole series, it's been kind of a sarcastic series because I wanted you to think about it. That, you know, well, I can deal with it. I can handle it. I don't need to put a filter on my computer. I don't need to block bad shows on my TV. I'm going to tell you do. Because the battle is bigger than you. I don't know about you, but there's one guy I wouldn't want to fight. You know, I'll take on a lot of people. But when it comes to Satan, I don't want to deal with him. I need help. I'm going to tag team. And I got a good tag team member that can take care of Satan. And his name is Jesus. He's already did it once. He can do it again. And he can do it in your life. I'm going to ask you, what do you got your eyes on today? What are you looking at today? Are you just looking at your problems? I'm stressed at work. It's beating me up. I just got to have this to relax. It's just entertainment. It just helps me relax. God's the author of peace. I send these messages out on Facebook. I text message. It makes me feel so good when all these people respond. Oh, it just makes me feel so good. It gives me meaning in life. Get a life with God, okay? There's nothing wrong with Facebook. I post very few things on there. There's nothing wrong with it. But don't get your meaning from life. Is Jesus Lord in your life? There's a statement I grew up with. Jesus is Lord or he's nothing at all. Anybody ever hear that one? Jesus is Lord or he's nothing at all. Is he Lord of your life? If he's not, he's nothing. What do you need to do? And are you willing to do it? Are you willing to surrender it? Or as you look over those excuses, I don't have a problem. I can quit this anytime. You know, I've talked to people who smoke cigarettes. They can quit anytime. The problem is they've quit it 10 times already. Somebody asked me one time, does smoking send you to hell? No, it doesn't, but it sure makes you smell like hell is what I've heard. Yeah. Drinking, you know. Alcohol. I just take one to relax when I get home. It's like kind of like a potato chip. What's that commercial? You can't have just, you know. You guys all knew that one. Yeah. See, that's when it controls you. I just can't have one piece of cheesecake. I got to have more. You know, it's interesting. Laura and I, we plan our trips to Disneyland and to Disney World, and we had some that went to Disney World. Guess what my question to them was? Where'd you guys eat? Yeah. We go to Disney World. Guess what we planned all our trip on? Where we ate? Yeah, it's not the ride. I'm going to go have some rides, but man, where are we going to go for dinner? Yeah. What controls you? I want to challenge you this morning. Will you turn all control to God? All. 100%. 100% control to God. Whatever's in your life, will you give it to him today?